Oh, thank you so much, Kendall. Thank you. Ah. Isn't it a great day to be clean? Woo! Ah! It's a great day to be clean. And we got some more. At this time, I'd like to introduce our second speaker. And this is Raymond H. coming from Washington, D.C. Welcome, Raymond.
I don't want to follow her. Thank you so much, Kendall.
Thank you.
I don't know about anybody else, but you certainly blessed my soul.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Because, you know, I knew that sister sat beside me, man. My spirit just got to jumping, man. Right? I'm like, man, I love you. Hi, Charlie. My name is Raymond. I'm a very grateful addict. They was asking about doing this topic, man, right? And I know one of the prerequisites is identifying yourself if you want to speak at these conventions as an addict, right? And I'm like, now, wait a minute, man, because I'm going to share my experiences. I know y'all may not have me back, but that's good. I said, wait a minute, man, I don't like to share my experiences, but see, my faith says, behold, all things have been passed away. Now I said all things are new. Now you're gonna go in there and you're gonna call yourself what? But the master said, when in Rome you do as the Romans do. Like, I'm ready on the hat. I am grateful and I'm honored to be here. And it really is humbling to have to come and to share my experiences. I don't know anything, man. I know that one. Before I got here, I knew everything. Oh, before I came to Knock House Anonymous, I'm college educated. Right? I was a guy that was up at Howard University debating Darwinism with the philosophy professors. Smoking more than 100 miles an hour. I was deep. And for those of y'all that don't know, smoking dope is deep. Smoking dope. Smoking milk. Smoking milk is spiritual. I'm from Silver Portland in DC, right? I thought I was a man, I thought I was God, right? I had the good love boat. I had some boat that you smoke, you took your clothes off and you lay down the street. Calling yourself Jesus. If you spoke some real hope, I mean, it took your mind to places. Can anybody say that? I'm not trying to be funny. Let me tell you all my story. Right? It's not going to be enough time, so I'm going to have to give you the condensed version, right? I'm from Washington, D.C. My mom had 13 kids by 5 different men. I was born up around the 14th and U Street corridor in my formative years. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the 14th and U Street corridor back in the late 50s and the early 60s. But around 14th and U Street in those days, believe it or not, folks, they were all professional black people. Professional black people. Believe it or not. They were professional pimps. Prostitutes, bank robbers, cab artists, stick up there, all professional, and I was one kid calling to miss the ball. Two or three, 4 years old, 150, down on U Street, and I had my thumb in my mouth, and I would watch the pills with the digital cords, with the one with the bling bling on, man, and the long hair, man, and the honey's all over. They had no idea the effect that they was having on the kid. When you guys talking about harm that you caused, and the harm that some of y'all are causing now with your spiritual self. with all his things that we got. And he's new coming to Washington, and he can dress for himself. Well, you should have been taking me to hostage, sharing all this food and stuff, and get that outside the meeting that night. So you have no idea how harm you caused her. So there I was, a little kid. Then the guys were in the alley on their knees with a dice in their hand. I'm 5 years old, walking past. Them guys mind their own business. And they're shooting dice. I'm a little kid, 4 or 5 years old. My grandma, my mama taking me past to go wherever. Those guys had no idea the harm they was causing. 5 year old kid. All those guys gathered around a bottle of wild Irish Rose. Mind their own business. Pass the bag and I take a swing. Ha! I pass it to the next man. Had no idea the harm that they, I'm going somewhere. No idea the harm that they're causing. They're buying their own business, dude. They ain't stolen nothing from you. They ain't taking their TV. They ain't said nothing about you. Harm to call. So we got a little kid, man. Little kid, man. Man, we were talking probably on all that insanity, right? And we talked about being, we talk about being restored to sanity. I'm going to go through that in a minute. But then I was a little kid, man, subjected to all these atrocities in my own household, man. It's a lot of insanity. 13 kids, 5 different fathers. I talk about my brother's father. They talk about my sister's father. Your father's 20 minutes. Your father walked with a lip. Your father. Your father got a death and he's a journey. Man. And we were poor. We were poor. I didn't say four. We were poor. We couldn't afford the land too much. We were poor. We were self-sandwich. Self-sandwiches, man. Sugar sandwiches. Is anybody familiar with that block of bread cheese? The best macaroni and cheese in the world. Man, I'm talking about having to cry as a little kid. So we talking about finding a spirituality that works for us, man. Like as a little kid, I had to cry for myself. I would have to, as a little kid, man, this is serious, man. I would have to go to my friend's house around dinner time and play with them so that I could have something to eat. If I wasn't hustling soda bottles, I'm talking old school stuff, some of y'all new folks, right? I'm talking old school, I'm talking about going to the center with the wedding that I had a hustle to buy to carry groceries on Friday evenings after school, and all day Saturday, so I can have money to feed myself and my brothers and sisters. And now I'm talking about getting in touch and getting a relationship with that Heavenly Father. My Heavenly Father was never there. Oh, he was like that, though. Oh, you let my folks say it. Like, my father was like that. Our father was like that. When our father walked down the street, guys got out of here and out of the way. Folks feared our father, all the women adored our father. I was like 14 or 15 years old. My father died when I was just out of middle school. I think I was around 15 or 16 years old. And my father's kids were older to be my parents. I was the last of my father's children, right? And they were praying about our father, what kind of man he was. Now, I said, our father was a chump. And they said, what was wrong with you talking about our father like that? I said, y'all talking about how poor our father was, how God feared him in the street, and how all the women adored him. I said, y'all talking about a guy that came to get me twice as a child. Twice. And then he took me over to some woman's house for the weekend and came back and took me back home. And you call that a man? By whose standards? In what culture? In the hood. This is the same hood that raised me to be a man. The same hood. We're part of the non-violence. If you don't know, you don't know. I come from a hood in the area where you either ate or be eaten. Right? Everybody in my family ate and lived off the streets. Everybody lived off the street. They were so drugs. They robbed banks, they stoned on you, they hustled, they never go, they did whatever. Nobody had a high school education until I came along in my family. God is doing stuff. Nobody was a child until I came along.
All right.
But I still had that thing, that spirit in me. I still have that spirit, my father's spirit, his father's spirit. I have that same spirit in me. But the amazing thing was, as a child coming up, there was always this thing about being close to the Creator. When everybody in the family on Sunday morning was drunk and hungover, I was that same little kid at 14 for you, as a church across the street, St. Augustine, I would dress myself at 5 or 6 years old and walk across the street to that church. That guy used to read for us from somewhere out from D.C. That Catholic church in the corner, as a little kid. There were three movies on UC, the Lincoln, the Pope, the Republic, and the Booker T. At the Booker T theater, it's a little small street where I lived, and after I left 14th and Portland Place, was like 5 blocks away. And lived on Portland Place, walked up the street to that little that Catholic church up there. Always itching, man, because something inside me was always telling me, you're bigger than this. You're better than this. I have plans for your life. And so folks were being, so as a young man coming up now, I'm in the streets. Because my folks were selling heroin when I was in middle school. Started middle school, my folks were selling heroin. I smoked my first joint in 7th grade. By the time I was in the 8th grade of college in high school, I was snorting heroin, smoking weed, and my family had me selling heroin. Spoons and half the spoons. Spoons for $25 and half the spoons for $12.50. And I was a little kid in middle school of Mexico on and saw it on Saturday, selling heroin, and thinking I'm living like that. And we talk about, y'all talk about, or folks that you talk about, those folks are brainwashing you in the rooms. They brainwashing you. No, I was brainwashed out there in the streets. So by the time I got here, I needed my brainwashed. I needed my brain disinfected, all my things were messed up. To give me that stinking thinking. So let's talk about this journey, man. This journey of finding a spirituality to work for us. So I'm out there in the streets. I'm doing things, man. And then I started going because I wasn't making the kind of money I needed. They said, they were rob banks, and they were standing in the corner and praying about rob banks and doing whatever. And they couldn't understand how they would end up down low again. And I said, they were stupid. Remember, I'm college educated. I'm going to show them how to do this thing. They're stupid. Like, they're not really smart. So we studied movies like The Godfather and all that. I got in touch with a spiritualist. A spiritualist. I'm talking about a woman who read your palm. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? From looking into a crystal ball. Mm-hmm. My organization started growing because my headquarters was in Silver Quarters, right? But I needed to get some serious money. And so this woman told me what moves to make, what moves not to make, who my organization, a spiritualist, told me things about my life. There's no way she can know. And so I began to confide in her and trust her. Right? So some of the kind of moves to make, the kind of deals I have, who I can trust in my organization, who I trust. Right? And then she told me something about these food dogs. Like, get some of these food dogs, because these food dogs will bring you money, bring you power. So I did some research on the food dogs. If you ever go to Chinese restaurants, you see those big dragon-looking dogs outside? Those are food dogs, right? So I researched and studied them, right? And I got some books on them. And guess what? Within 30 days' time, my income, I'm telling you, my income in Power Street, it quadrupled. Like, and the guys who were like, trying to curb me, and like less than 30 days' time, I was curbing them. But that was some spirituality that started working me, because this woman started asking for more money. She said, there's something going to go down. And I'm going to need $5,000. And I'm like, no, wait a minute. Like, at this point in my life, I'm getting tired of the game, right? And I'm like, I need to get away from this, right? And she was pressing me for this money. And I'm like, man, this is some spirituality that's not working for me. I said, I don't have it. She said, oh, yes, you do. She said, you got it. She said, if you got some money, you got the money, and it's not far from you, it's walking, this is from here. My bank was around the corner. She said, you have it. And I said, I'm not giving her anything. A depression came over me. It's like a dark cloud was over me. Man, a dark cloud. She was telling me that she needed some money. She needed some money right away because she had got some. She told me to open up this, told me to give me a napkin to rub all over my body. Man, I brought it back to her. And she said, hey, you take a hammer and you crack this thing open. And it was a shield inside with a head on it. She said, I need to pray this second. I need to pass out loud and pray. I think that was printed at $5,000. I'm like, Father, this is not working. No, this is working. I don't want this no more. I don't want to deal with this. As a matter of fact, I mean, I'm ready to get out of the game. I am tired of it, right? But I was always bothered, right? That God, look, I know I'm doing wrong, but folks don't get high anyway. If they don't buy drugs, speaking about from somebody, but look at all the good I'm doing. I'm paying folks rent in the neighborhood. I'm buying their kids sneakers. I'm putting food in the refrigerator. What I was doing was wrong, man, right? And I knew I had to get out, man, right? And so I asked God to help me, to bless me, man, right? And he turned my life a lamb. And so when I came out of the game, I said, God, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not selling a popsicle stick if it's not legal. That was 1987. I came to the program in 1989. This coming June will be 25 years. So my very first day coming to a meeting, you guys are saying some stuff. You guys, tell me how much time I got, because I want to make sure I do this. How much time do I have right now?
You got 10 minutes.
I got 10 minutes more. So my very first, we're going to go somewhere now. So my very first meeting, June 11th, 1989, I had to look back. Where are those new folks again? Because I want to talk to y'all. Can you raise your hands, please,
seriously?
New people. Look, let me tell you something about why they sit there. Why they got 30 years? She came in with me. Look, oftentimes we're in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and you often hear folks talk about the spiritual side of the program. Is that not right? The spiritual side of the program? You have been in a meeting as a newcomer, and your sponsor said, you've been that. Nobody's been that to you, and raised your hand, act like you know something. And you had something on your heart that you really want to share, but they thought, so many folks are my sponsor, so I can't raise my hand in. And somebody else in the room will share exactly where you are, and you can put, does that ever happen to anybody at all? Ain't no spiritual side of this thing. This thing is real, man. It's real, and the problem is real. What I come to understand is that I was doing some devotions, man. I think I had about 3 or 4 years, coming up on 5 years, right? And I was like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. In the middle of my devotions, I had the NA book out, I had my sword out, and I was doing some studying. And I jumped up about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I started screaming. And I'm like, God, you are a trip. I thought that I came to Narcotics Anonymous because I had smoked too much boat. You know what I mean? I was smoking some coke too, but boat was mine. I thought I was his tag and I came to Narcotics Anonymous. I'm like, God, you a trip. What I come to understand is that Narcotics Anonymous is a setup by God. It's a setup by God. See, because I believe God said that some of these Negroes and white folks and Asian folks and whatever place you are, some of these folks are not going to go to church, right? And so I believe God said, I have a plan and purpose for their life. Like, I'm talking 11 step. Because the focus of the 11 step is not prayer and meditation.
Now don't throw no stones at me.
Come on, break it down.
The purpose of the 11 step is not, the focus, rather, of the 11 step is not prayer and meditation. The 11 step, guys, it starts in the third step. You see, after you get past this second step, high power stuff.
Come on.
Your lips are talking about, you don't call them by name. Right? So this relationship that begins in 3, you develop it all the way to 11. And by the time you're at the 11th step, we're talking about God's purpose. God's plan and purpose for your life. The second step ain't about no insanity. That's the first step.
Thank you.
The second step is about hope.
That's right.
And high power. Like, so this 11th step is about God's purpose and will for your life.
Yep.
Okay, y'all looking at me crazy. Let me say this. What if I were to say to you, brother, I have $1 million check for you in downtown Atlanta. $1 million check, cash for you in downtown Atlanta. You can go by plane, train, boat, bus, whatever you want. I don't care how you get there. You need to get to downtown Atlanta, right? You get that money. Like, man. So when we talk about the 11th step, and you guys think, oh, prayer and meditation is a vehicle to get me to a place in God.
Come on.
Prayer and meditation is a vehicle
is a vehicle we sought through prayer and meditation to do what? To get into that place in God to find out God's will and purpose for my life. God didn't bring me here because I smoked this morning, I was tired, whatever. God brought me here because he has a purpose for my life. He has a purpose, a plan for your life. And the only way that you can get there is to make that you can stop you from moving. God is a resource. Any and everything else is a resource, which is subject to resource. Who is God? Because he is the God of all things. So we praise him. I got 7 minutes? My man, good enough. God is the source. Any and everything else is a resource which is subject to the source who is God. He provides us with all that we need. Right? So finding a spirituality that works for me. Prior to coming to Not Cross Anonymous, I did anything and everything I was big enough and bad enough to do. And it was all predicated on some things that happened to me way back when I was a little child, when nobody could protect me, when a guy sexually violated me at 6 years old. I was angry. My father was not there to protect me. This third guy across the street was not there to protect me. Some guy violated me. I don't know what he was doing messing around my behind. He had open it there. And so at that point I became very, very much so I called me rebellious. I'm a man. And so I started doing all these manly things. Like getting in trouble, fighting anybody who got in my way. If you look at me crazy, it's like, what is your problem? You want to talk to me? Let's go around the corner. Because we don't need nobody in the room with this is you and I. I was doing it to all the little girls. In my mind, man, this thing, man, maybe you screwed with me. No! And so I did anything and everything, man. I needed some help. I need a foundation that I got it early on from y'all in the streets. And I was good at it. I said, I could never go to jail selling drugs. I was a fool. I would let down 5 pounds of Lepo in Centerville. 5 police cars would be over here in Southern Quarter. There were 20 other ways to go. You know what I would do? I would go right through the police because I'm slick. The enemy that y'all call Snoopfoot around here. The one that y'all call Snoopfoot. I know his real name. And I'm here to tell you that he has an APB out of my life. He wants me back. And you want to know something else? He wants you too. God got you clean. God got me clean for a purpose. Like, we talk about a spirituality that should work for me. Prior to coming here, I would take anything from anybody. But as a result of coming in here and Not Cross Anonymous and finding out, getting a relationship with God, we're talking about getting a foundation, new people. Get a foundation. The 1-2-3 shuffle, the 1-2-3 shuffle. Once you get a thorough foundation, you can go to a 4-step and find out who you are fearlessly. If you take God with you. There are folks that's been around here for years, they're playing. But if you want to soar, if you want to make a difference, if you want to change the atmosphere in your environment, in your life, in your community, get in touch with God. But we don't want to do that now because we're worried about, man, what our friends are going to say. Now, our friends are not going to like us. You ain't got to worry about your friends. They're going to move anyway. If you want to live a good life, a prosperous life, I mean a life of, because we talk about getting power once we get out of the way. Once you realize you ain't got no power, that's when God will say, oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's when I can move in there and do my thing. Like, so as a result of a spirituality that works for me, man, when I would take your pocketbook or take your money or do whatever, now if you drop your money, somebody said, well, hey, that's a $50 bill, brother. I was in the bank a month ago. $1,800 was on the counter. $1,800 on the counter. And I know it wasn't me. The enemy said, take that money. That's your blessing. It was in a simple envelope. Take it as yours. I'm like, man, it's a price to pay. See, once you know some things, you know some things. Once you know some things, that would have cost me my life to take that money. Because it is a tree and tree. Like, so look, I gotta wrap this thing up, right? A spirituality will work. We talk about man walking around, man, free from the bondage of self.
Yeah.
Right? Because I would put myself in bondage. You know what I mean? And then I would allow you to put me in bondage. Oh man, what you said meant so much. But until I got a spirituality that works for me, it didn't matter what I would do anything else to please you. I would have to buy $500 shoes to please you. Sports cars to please you. Big old homes, I had to do all this stuff to gain your acceptance and approval. But once I found a spirituality that worked for me, in me and the world, there was nowhere to come to. Speak, look at this. When I came to the program, folks are going to say, I wore design suits, design a car, and I had a cell phone, and y'all ain't have nothing to bump that thing. But it's all about impressing y'all. Find a spirituality that works for you. You can praise folks into a brand new way of living. You can walk into, because we talk about spirituality, we're talking about seeing your loved ones that's on deathbeds. Y'all want to get real people. We talk about praying for folks, man, and they can gain liberty. Being meek for the masses, and there is no greater joy, no greater happiness, man, than living my life to please the Creator, man. And that's not to say that we don't fall short, or we don't feel like our tendencies and all that. Man, but it's good on this side, man. New folks, find God, man. Get down on your face, talk to him, and the ones that you want all over, man, they'll be ooing all over you. Because you better stand for something that's going for anything. Thank y'all so much. Thank you for being here. Thank you.